Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Gimel Amud Aleph, three lines down. Tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer. Gemara here is discussing the source for Nisuch HaMayim. We've had two opinions so far. We had the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira that it's learnt out of the extra letters of Med, Yud, Mem that are found in the Musafim of the 7 days of Sukkot, and that spells out Mayim, which is a remez to Nisuch HaMayim. On the other hand, Rabbi Akiva said the source was from Unsacheha, which is a plural, and the plural said that one was for Mayim and one was for Yayin, and we explained why. Now, Tanya, Rabbi Natan Omer, Bakodesh, Haseich, Nesech, Shechar LaHashem, Vishnei Nisuchim, Akatu Midaber. The Pasuk is speaking about two Nisachim, because it said, Haseich, Nesech, Echad Nisuch HaMayim, Vechad Nisuch HaYayin, one of water, one of wine. Eima Tarvayu Dechamra. So let's say the same thing we said by Rabbi Akiva, you have two of them, maybe they're both of wine. In Game Lichtov Korah, the Pasuk should then say, O Haseich, Haseich, O Nesech, Nesech. It should use the same terminology twice, and then you would think that it means two of the same item. My Haseich Nesech, why does it change the language? Maminach Ademaya v'chadechamro. Comes to teach you that one of them is water, one of them is wine. Now the Gemara says, Elahad etznan. What about our Mishnah in Sukkah that says Nisuch HaMayim Kol Zayin Mani? That Mishnah in Sukkah says that Nisuch HaMayim is for 7 days. Who is the author of that position? Based on the positions that we brought so far, we don't have someone who is necessarily that author. If it's Rabbi Yoshua, name Achad Yoma. For him, it's only 1 day because Rabbi Yoshua believes that you only start asking for rain on the 7th day of Sukkot when you do Hanachat Lulav. Again, it's a question. In one place, it sounds like it's on the 8th day, and in one place, it sounds like on the 7th day. Might be a difference between Rabbi Yoshua in the Braita and Rabbi Yoshua in the Mishnah. Or we can reconcile between the two and say that when it puts it down on the 7th day, it means going into the 8th day. On the night of the 8th day, he begins to say it. Rabbi Akiva. If it's Rabbi Akiva, then Trei Yomei. You only begin the Nisuch HaMayim from the 6th day because the hint is in Unsachea, was in the 6th day. So it'll be only the 6th and 7th day. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira, Shita Yomei. For Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira, it's 6 days because he starts on Yom Sheni because that's the first hint at Mayim from the letters or the extra letters that you have there. So therefore, it's not going to be any of these. We have Rabbi Yeshua saying 1 day, Rabbi Akiva saying 2 days, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira saying 6 days. So we don't have anybody saying that it's 7 days. When it says, Olam Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira, it is Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira. V'svir like Rabbi Yehuda, dematznitan, and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda. We have Rabbi Yehuda in the mission that says, it's not Rabbi Yehuda omer belog haya menasei kol shmona, that there was Nisuch HaMayim with a log for all 8 days. According to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateira, the Nisuch HaMayim only starts on the 2nd day. So what we're going to suggest is that he believes that Nisuch HaMayim also applies to Shmini Atzeret. So there are 8 days of Nisuch HaMayim, but he only starts on the 2nd day. So he'll end up with 7 days of Nisuch HaMayim. So he'll make big Rishon or Mayel Shmini. He'll take out the 1st day, put in the 8th day. Where it says, Umayishna Rishon Tolo, why does he not include the 1st day? Dechei Remizei Mayim B'Sheinihu DeRemizei. Because the hint to Nisuch HaMayim in the Pasuk comes from the 2nd day, Yom HaShini, Shoshmini Nami, Ki Remizei Mayim, B'Shvi'ihu DeRemizei. The last hint at the word Mayim is on the 7th day, so then why would you include the 8th day? Ella Rabbi Yeshua Hi, it's Rabbi Yoshua. Well, if it's Rabbi Yoshua says that you only start asking for rain either on the 7th day or the 8th day, and that is correlated with Nisuch HaMayim, V'Nisuch HaMayim Kol Shiva, Hilchata Gemirala. So how do we deal with the fact that Nisuch HaMayim is all 7 days? That's because it's halacha l'Moshe Misinai. It's a completely separate din. It's divorced from the issue of when you start to ask for rain. During Sukkot, it is a siman kavalah to ask for rain. So we don't ask for rain until the 7th or 8th day. Whereas when it comes to Nisuch HaMayim, the halacha l'Moshe Misinai is it's for all 7 days. Damar Rabbi Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Nechunya, Ish Bikat Beit Choratan, Eser Nitiot, Arava, V'Nisuch HaMayim, halacha l'Moshe Misinai. If these three items are all halacha l'moshe misinai, they are not a limud of the Torah midoraito, but they're a mesora, that they have a status of a din of halacha l'moshe misinai. And those are eser nitiot, which is relevant in this upcoming year, which is that if you have nitiot, if you have young saplings that are placed in a beitza'ah, 10 of them in a beitza'ah, evenly dispersed, you're allowed to plow that area all the way up until Rosh Hashanah before the Shvi'it. The din is with regards to plowing on Shvi'it or doing work on Shvi'it, that you're only allowed to do things that maintain the status quo, not things that improve it. So for nitiyot, the plowing of a beitza'ah is part of the maintenance of the tree. Otherwise, mafsidin, they would lose out. And because they would lose out, we allow you to plow all the way up to Rosh Hashanah. For regular trees, you have to stop 30 days before Rosh Hashanah because of Tosefet Shvi'it, and you can only plow for Ukumi Ilana around the trees themselves, because that is beneficial to maintaining them, assuming that that maintains them. If it improves them, then you clearly can't do it. Midrabanan, they push that all the way back to Shavuot. So, according to the Rabbanon, you can't plow for trees even back from Shavuot. Midoraita, you'd have to stop 30 days before. Both of those are waived because of Halacha the Moshe Mitzrayim, that says that you can plow all the way up to the day before Rosh Hashanah when it comes to Eser Nitiot and Beit Sa'ah. But it has to be exactly that setup, otherwise it does not work. The other thing is Arava, which we discussed in the Gemara and Sukkah, about Mekifet the Mizbeach with the Arava and placing the Arava on the Mizbeach. And the last one is Nisuch HaMayim, is the water libations that are done on Sukkot. They are Locha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, and again, they have no connection to when we start asking for rain. In that case, Rabbi Yeshua can be the author of the position that all 7 days you do Nisuch HaMayim, and also be the author of the position that we only start asking for rain on the seventh or eighth day. And as Rashi explains over here, we could definitely set this up like Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer says that you start saying or asking for Geshem on the first day. So that, clearly he could be the author of the position that it's for 7 days. Now we've also explained it according to Rabbi Yeshua. But for Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira and for Rabbi Akiva, there's no way to set it up that they are the authors of that position of 7 days. Because they clearly have limudim that lock them into when Nisuch HaMayim is. They're not relying on the Halacha of the Moshe Mitzrayim. They're relying on their limudim from the Psukim. And that prevents them from being the author of that position. So in the end, we are able to reconcile for both Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yeshua to have the position that Nisuch HaMayim is 7 days. Rabbi Eliezer, because he asks for rain starting on the first day of Sukkot, so if the two are correlated, then it works out perfectly, all 7 days. And for Rabbi Yeshua, even though the two are separate, even though he only asks for rain on the seventh or eighth day of Sukkot, nevertheless, since the two items are separate, he can have Nisuch HaMayim be all 7 days because he has it from a Halacha the Moshe Mitzrayim. Now the Gemara goes back to the Braita and discusses what we mentioned when we read the Braita yesterday, that there's a problem within the position of Rabbi Yeshua, which is Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Rabbi Yeshua, Hover Lifnei HaTeiva B'Yom Tov Acharon Shel Chag, whoever is the Shatz on the last day of the Chag, meaning Shmini Atzeret, Acharon Maskir, the one who Davin's Musaf mentions Mashiva Ruach Umarido Goshem, Arishon Eino Maskir, but the first one does not. B'Yom Tov Arishon Shel Pesach, on the first day of Pesach, Arishon Maskir, the one who Davin Shacharit mentions it, Acharon Eino Maskir, but the one who Davin's Musaf does not mention it. Mar says, hey, Rabbi Yeshua, which Rabbi Yeshua is the Rabbi Yehuda quoting over here? Ilem Rabbi Yeshua de Matnitin, if it's Rabbi Yeshua of our Mishnah, Hamar B'Yom Tov Acharon Shel Chag Maskir. He already says that you say it the entire last day, meaning on Shmini Atzeret itself. Elo Rabbi Yeshua de Braita, you want to suggest it's Rabbi Yeshua Braita, Hamar Mishat Hanachto, from the time that he puts down the Lulav, which would sound like the seventh day. Again, how to reconcile between these two positions of Rabbi Yeshua and the Mishnah and the Braita? Tosafot says they're really the same position, and when it says Shat Hanachto, when he's about to place it down, it really means after you've placed it down on the eighth day. And they both believe you start on the night of the eighth day. That could be the position within Rashi, although Rashi has numerous statements about this, and sometimes he says seven, sometimes he says eight. It seems most likely that he thinks that the Mishnah, or Rabbi Yeshua of the Mishnah, is eight, thinks you start on the eighth day on Shmini Atzeret, and he really believes that the Rabbi Yeshua of the Braita starts on the seventh day. Vitu, and in addition to that, Ha Detanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mishum Ben Beteira. And what about the bright that we have there? Behuda says the name of Ben Bitera. Over Lifnei HaTeiva B'Yom Tov Acharon Shel Chag Acharon Maskir. Hey, Ben Bitera. Who's the Ben Bitera that we're speaking about here? Ilim Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bitera. If you're talking about Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bitera, Ha'amar B'Sheni B'Chagu Maskir. Already says you start asking for rain on the second day of Sukkot. So he clearly can't be the author of that position that we're switching over on Shmini Atzeret. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak. So Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says, Tei Tarvayu B'Rabbi Yeshua Ben Bitera. The solution to all of this problem is that we're talking about Rabbi Yeshua ben Beteira. There's another Tana here. That Tana shares a common first name with Rabbi Yeshua, Stam Rabbi Yeshua, but is Rabbi Yeshua ben Beteira. But he also shares the name ben Beteira with Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. So it's Rabbi Yeshua ben Beteira. And the Rabbi Yeshua that Rabbi Yehuda is quoting is Rabbi Yeshua ben Beteira. And the ben Beteira that he's quoting is also Rabbi Yeshua ben Beteira. Zimdei dekari le'bishmei. Zimdei dekari le'bishmei da'abot. Sometimes you call him by his name, Rabbi Yeshua. Sometimes you call him by his father's name, which is Ben Betera. What's the difference, or why was there such a distinction? Before he got smicha, he called him Ben Betera, he called him by his father's name. After he got smicha, and he had significance on his own, then he became Rabbi Yoshua. So that's how we'll reconcile between these two quotes in the name of Rabbi Yoshua. They're not both Rabbi Yoshua. One is Rabbi Yoshua Stam, and one is Rabbi Yoshua Ben Betera. Tano, we have a braita that says, "Betal uberucho lo chayivu chachamim laskir." The chachamim were not mechayev a person to mention dew or to mention winds. Vimbala askir, and if he wants to mention it, maskir, he can go ahead. He has the option to mention it. My taima, why is this the case? I'm Rabbi Chanina lefishen ne'atzarim, because they never stop. Since they're always present, then there's no seasonal time to mention them. We'll have to answer the question after we get through today's daf about why we do mention some of these items sometimes and not mention them at other times. But right here, what you see is that there's an option to add these items in. It's not mandatory. We happen to add in the ruach with mashiva ruach umorida goshem or marida geshem. That we add in then, but not in the summertime. In the summertime, the practice of many is to say morid hatal. So we do add in tal in the summertime, but not in the wintertime. And the same is true with Sheila. We say, v'tein tal umotor livracha. And then in the summertime, we say, tein bracha. But many of the Sephardim say, v'tein tal livracha. They do mention tal in the summertime. So we have to explain the differences in minhagim, but it's clear here that it's optional. And if you don't say it, that you do not have to go back in the Shmona Esrei. V'tal mi lolan delo mi atzer. How do we know that dew never stops? Dichtiv, because it says in Melachim Aleph, when Eliyahu and Avi is gozer, that there'll be no rain for Kalal Yisrael. It says, Vayomer Eliyahu, Tishvi, Mitoshvei HaGilad. Tosafot says something interesting here. Why is he called Mitoshvei HaGilad? From those that resided in the Gilad. Because he was from Yavesh Gilad, and Yavesh Gilad was wiped out during Pilegesh Begiva. And since it's wiped out, anybody who's left over from there is considered to be a remnant or a refugee. And therefore, they're mitoshvei Gilad, those that were left over from the Gilad. It's an interesting explanation for this. Elachav, to the king, Chai Hashem Elokei Yisrael, Asher Amadti Lefanav, he takes a shvuah b'shem Hashem, so im yeh hashanim eile talu matar, if there'll be dew or rain during any of these years, ki im lefri dvari, except by my word. Meaning that until I say so, there won't be any rain and there won't be any tal. Uchdiv, and in the subsequent pasuk, after Hashem pressures Eliyahu, basically to recant and to bring the rain back. Over there it says, Lech Hera El Achav, go and appear before Achav, Vedna Matar Opnei Adamai, and I'll give rain on the land. Vilutal Lo Kamarle, but he never mentions the dew, that he has to bring back the dew, only that he has to bring back the rain. Hashem doesn't say to him, go do that, and you'll bring back the rain and the tal. He only says you have to bring back the rain. So even though Eliyahu says there's going to be no rain and no tal, when he has to bring it back, he only mentions that he has to bring back the rain. My taima, what's the reason? Mishum delo me'atzer, because it doesn't stop. B'chim ha'acher delo me'atzer, Eliyahu ishtuvei lamalei. So then, if it never stops, then why did Eliyahu take a shvuah that he's going to stop the tal? So, hachi gamalei, afilu tal de bracha nami lo ati. There'll be no tal of bracha. There'll be no tal that has a blessing. Tal is always there, but there is other tal that has a better aspect to it, whether that's a physical item, meaning that the tal is more beneficial, or it's a spiritual bracha, that the tal is more beneficial. So that will not come. Vilahadre, the tal de bracha. Why doesn't he say, I'm going to bring back the rain and the tal of bracha? Yishom lo de minkara milto. It's not clear. It's not obvious. I mean, if there's always dew, it's not clear whether this is dew a bracha or not dew a bracha. So even though he said that there will be no dew a bracha, to say that it comes back or mention it would be unnecessary or almost a laugh, because Achav will say to him, hey, it never went away. What do you mean you're trying to bring it back? So therefore, when he's bringing it back, he doesn't mention it. So here the Gemara reconciles between what Eliyahu said, meaning that the tal does go away, but it's only the tal of bracha. On the other hand, it doesn't say that he's going to bring it back, because he doesn't want Achav to pick up on that and say, wait, it never went away, so I don't have to listen to you. Tosafot makes an interesting comment with regards to Gidon. When Gidon asked for a siman from Hashem that he would win the battle and that he should go to battle, he asked him for two simanim. He asked him for one siman where there'll be dew on the ground and the piece of string that he has there will be dry. And then he asked him for the opposite, where there'll be dew on the string and no dew on the ground around it. Tosafot brings two versions of the explanation here, but he says that with regards to the dew on the string and no dew on the ground around it, either Hashem did not carry that out, and that's why the language is different when Hashem carries out the second siman and not the first siman, or he brings another girsa, which is Hashem does not mention his name there, because even though he carried it out, it was not a siman bracha, and Hashem only mentions his name by something that's a bracha, which means that there's tal. And if he took away the tal, that's not a siman bracha. But either way, he notes that by Gidon, taking away the tal is a significant item. Either it didn't happen, or if it did happen, Hashem would not put his name there because its tal is supposed to be a bracha, and it's a klala when there is no tal there. So Tosfos has an interesting insight into that issue by Gidon. Now, Ruchot Minolon Delomi Atzrei, how do we know that the wind never stops blowing? I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Dama Kara. Because the Pasuk says, Ki Ke'arba Ruchot HaShamayim Perasti Etchem Neum Hashem. Which means, for I have scattered you like the four directions of the heavens. So Perasti over here means to disperse you. Maika Amar Luhu. So what is the Navi telling them? Ilei Me'achik Amar Luhu HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Yisrael Divdar Tinchu Bi'arba Ruchei Da'alma, that he's going to disperse you over the four corners of the earth. Ilei Ke'arba Bi'arba Mi'bailei. What does it mean, like the four Ruchot HaShemayim? It should be Bi'arba, to the four ends of the earth. So the word is the wrong word then. You shouldn't have a coffin there. You should have a bet in there. Halachik Amar Kishem Shi'i Efshar De'olam Below Ruchot. Just like it's impossible for the world to exist without the winds. So too, the world will not exist without the Jews. And that's what it means here, that we see that the Ruchot never stop, because the comparison shows you that the Ruchot are essential to the survival of the world, just like the Jews are essential part of the survival of the world. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Hilkach, therefore, Bimotach Hama Amar Meshiva Ruach in Machzirin Oto. If you mention Mashiva Ruach in the summertime, you don't have to go back, because Mashiva Ruach is not incorrect in the summertime. Amar Morid Goshem or Morid Geshem, if he mentions Geshem in the summertime, Machzirin Oto, you have to go back, because it's improper to mention Geshem in the summertime, since it is a Siman Klala. Bimotak Shamim, in the wintertime, Lorma Mashiva Ruach. If he doesn't mention Mashiva Ruach, in Machzirin Oto, he doesn't have to go back, because again, it's not essential. It's a nice thing to mention. It's a nice item to add in, but it's not necessary. Lo Amar Morid HaGeshem, if he doesn't mention Geshem in the wintertime, Machzirin Oto, then we do take him back, or we force him to go back, because he failed to mention something that's important during the wintertime. V'lo Ot, Elo Afilo Amar Mavir HaRuach U'mafriach HaTau, in Machzirin Oto. Even if he says Mavir HaRuach, the one who removes the wind, U'mafriach HaTau, and moves away or shoos away the dew, in Machzirin Oto, he doesn't have to go back, because what he said is completely false. It's not meaningful, because they never stop. The Ruach doesn't stop, and neither does the Tau. Tana, Be'avim uveberuchot lo chivu chachamim laskir. So now, in addition, before we saw that this was said about the Tau, about the dew and the wind, now we have it about the clouds and the wind. So by Avim, by clouds, uveruchot lo chivu chachamim laskir. They did not obligate you to mention it. Vim balaskir, maskir. And if you plan on mentioning, if you want to mention it, that's fine. My time, again, why? Mishum deloma atzrei. Because they don't stop. There are things that are there permanently. V'lo ma'atzrei. Do they really not stop? V'atani Rav Yosef. V'atzaret ha-shamayim min ha'avim u'min ha-ruchot. When Hashem says in Vayayim Shamoa that if you don't listen to what you're supposed to do, v'atzaret ha-shamayim, he's going to close up the heavens. What does that mean, that he's going to close up the heavens? That means that the clouds and the wind won't come. Atah u'mir min ha'avim u'min ha-ruchot. Do you say that refers to the clouds and to the winds? Ho'en ha'olam min ha-matar. Doesn't it mean to stop the rain? Shomer v'lo yeh matar, that's the next part of the pasuk. It says, Vatzaret HaShemayim v'lo yeh matar. Lo yeh matar tells you there won't be rain. So what is Vatzaret HaShemayim? Hari matar amur. Matar is already covered by the latter half of the pasuk. Ha manim yikoyim Vatzaret HaShemayim. What do I explain with regards to Vatzaret HaShemayim? Min ha'avim u'min ha'ruchot. That means I'm going to stop the clouds and the wind. Obviously, the pashtut of pasuk is that Vatzaret HaShemayim, the skies or the heavens will be closed because v'lo yeh matar. So there will not be any rain. But the way that he is explaining it now, he's dividing up the two statements to say that they're independent of each other. So kasha ruchot aruchot. We have a steer here because from Rav Yosef's limud, it sounds like ruchot, the winds can be stopped. But we said in the bright that the wind never stops. Kasha avim avim. And the clouds are also a question. Rav Yosef says that from the pasuk, the clouds do stop. And we had in the bright before that the clouds don't stop. It says avim and avim lo kasha. The clouds and the clouds are not a question. Harpe are the early clouds, and the afle are the late clouds. So the early clouds that come before the rain, those never stop. But the afle, the late clouds, the ones that come after the rain, then those do stop. That's where it says, Vatsarat HaShamayim, that they will not continue. But of course, we don't have to mention it, because even though some of the clouds stop, not all of the clouds stop. And therefore, we don't have to mention it. Ruchot ha-ruchot lo-gasha, ha-beruach mitzuya, ha-beruach she'ena mitzuya. That depends on the type of wind. Is it a regular wind or an unusual wind? When it comes to ruach mitzuya, the normal winds, they never stop. Ruach she'ena mitzuya, an unusual wind, those do stop, and that's covered by atzar et ha-shamayim. Therefore, we don't obligate you to mention it, because you have enough with the ruach mitzuya. You don't need the ruach she'ena mitzuya. Mar says, you don't need the ruach she'ena mitzuya. Then you need Chazi Lebei Daret. You need these unusual winds to help with the winnowing process. Gemara says, Epshar Benafato, you can do that with a sieve. So you can compensate for it, and therefore it's not absolutely necessary. So the Ruach Mitzuya is something that's absolutely necessary and is always there. On the other hand, the Ruach She'ena Mitzuya is something that is stopped, even though it's useful and beneficial. Since the Ruach never stops, we don't obligate you to mention it. And if it comes, it's beneficial. If it doesn't, we have a way to compensate and take care of the issues. Tana, havim varuchot shniot lamatar. The clouds and the winds are secondary to the rain. Hechidami. What does that mean? Amarula avitem rabiuda de batar mitra. They come after the rain. The memra delma yolutahi. That's to tell you that that's beneficial when after the rain, the ruach or the clouds come. Vaktiv. Then we have in the tochucha, it says, itena shem in matar atzacha vak vaafar. That Hashem will make the rain bring up dirt and dust. Va'amar ula v'itayim rabiuda zika debata mitra. That is the wind that comes after the rain. Meaning that the rain will bring up dirt, and then the wind will move along and make a cake on those things that are growing, and it's going to cause problems with the crops. So we see here that the wind that's after the rain is problematic. It says, Lokasha, hadata necha, hadata razio. One is the case when the rain comes down gently. In the other case is when the rain comes down in a heavy downpour. So if the rain comes down gently, then the wind afterwards is helpful or beneficial. Whereas if the rain comes down heavily, then it's problematic, because then it raises up the dirt and then the wind will carry it and ruin the crops. Which is the same thing as ha demale avak, ha delo male avak. That's the one that brings up the dust or the dirt, which is the heavy rain. That's the one that does not bring it up, which is the lighter rain. V'amar Yehuda zika debater mitra k'mitra. Yehuda says that the wind after the rain is as beneficial as the rain itself. Eva debater mitra k'mitra. Clouds after the rain are also beneficial. Shimsha debater mitra, sun after the rain, k'tre mitre, is the equivalent of two rainfalls. So now here you have all the possible permutations. After the rain, you either have clouds, sun, or wind. All the possibilities, and he's saying that they're all beneficial. L'mute mai. So when is it not beneficial afterwards? L'mute gila delelia, the glow after sunset, v'shimsha debeni karche, and the sun that peeks through between the clouds. So if after the rain you have the sun peeking through between the clouds, then it's not beneficial. If clouds alone, it's good. If you have sun alone, it's good. But if you have clouds with the sun peeking through, that's not good. The way Tosafot describes it is that you have it raining on different locations on the side, and it's sunny in the middle. That's a case when it's not beneficial. Amarova male talgo leture kechamishe mitre la'aro. The snow on the mountains is the equivalent of five rains on the ground. Shenemar, because the pasuk says, Ki la shelev yomar heve aretz v'geshem matar. V'geshem mitrot uzo, because he says to the snow, be upon the ground. And he also says to the showers of light rain and the showers of his mighty rains. As Rashi explains to us, when the pasuk says, it's if it says, K'lashag yomar hebe'eret, then it's like geshem matar and geshem mitrot. Five different items, geshem, matar, and geshem, and then mitrot, which is plural. So it's equivalent to five geshem, five rains. As Rashi says, well, snow would be just as good for the valleys as it is for the mountains, except that the mountains don't get rain, so they need the snow up top. And in addition to that, the snow in the valley melts very quickly because it's much warmer in the valleys. So therefore, the snow on the top of the mountains is the perfect location because it doesn't melt quickly. And in addition to that, it provides the upper mountains with that benefit. And we know today that that's true. that the snow on the top of the mountains and the density of the snow and the packing of the snow actually provides a lot more water down below as the snow melts through the summertime. So it's an efficient way to store water, and it is actually more beneficial than the rain. Not exactly the way that Rashi explains it, but it is true that the snow has that equivalence or that equation that it's worth a lot more than the rain, and here the Gemara says it's worth 5 times as much as the rain. And then Rava says, Talga the Ture, snow is great for the mountains. Mitra Razio the Ilone, Mitra Razio, heavy rains are good for the trees. Mitra Necha, the lighter rains are good to the Peire. Rashi Vir says Peire are its Vua, the grains. Or Fila, Afilu the Partsida, the Tute Kala, Mahanule. That the very thin rains, the showers, are good even for the little seeds that are below the ground. My Orfila. So what is this Orfila? These light rains or these showers are Uru Pile. These rains are Uru Pile, which Rashi says that they fill in the cracks of the ground, or that the shoots below, the seeds below, begin to sprout and they fill in the cracks in the ground, which is the way that Tosafot favors the explanation over here. But these are very light rains that don't wash away the seeds, but give them the opportunity to sprout and to grow. And therefore, they are beneficial even for those seeds that are planted and are near the surface. So here he gives you different types of rains and snow, which are beneficial for different areas. Again, snow for the mountains, heavier rains for the trees, and the lighter rains for the other crops. Now, based on this Gemara, the conclusion is, number one, you must say Geshem during the winter time. If you don't say Geshem during the winter time, then you have to go back in Shemoneh Esrei because it's a mandatory to ask for rain during the rainy season. As far as Tal is concerned, it's optional. And therefore, in the summertime, you can mention Tal, which is the practice in Eretz Yisrael and in other places as well, and to say Morid Tal. While it's not absolutely necessary, the Gemara seems to think that it is a good idea to do this, even though it's not an obligation. Now, if you mention Geshem in the summertime, you actually have to go back and repeat the Shemoneh Esrei, or depending on what the rules of Chazara, which we're not going to discuss right now, then you do have to go back if you mention Geshem in the summer. That's despite the fact that if you said nothing, you'd be fine. But if you say Geshem, then you do have to go back, and that's because Geshem in the summer is a klala. Saying nothing is exactly that, saying nothing. So saying Geshem is worse than saying nothing. Now, if you say Morid HaTal during the winter time, Tosafot mentions over here, and this is brought down the halacha by the Shulchan Aruch, that if you say Morid HaTal during the summertime, and you also say it during the wintertime, then if you said Morid HaTal and you didn't mention Geshem, that's sufficient, and you do not have to go back in Shemoneh Esrei, because you did mention something, the Tal, and that's enough to take care of the Geshem. Now, as far as Mashiva Ruach, we only mention Mashiva Ruach in the wintertime, we do not mention it in the summertime. Now again, the Gemara here, and it's brought down the Halacha, says, Einam Alev, Einam Morid, it's not necessary, but if you want to say it, it's good. But then why don't we say Mashiva Ruach during the summer if it never stops? So some say it's because there's nothing to distinguish it. It's always there, then there's nothing distinct about it, so there's no reason to mention it. Well then why do we mention it in the wintertime? Because of what the Gemara said here at the end, which is that Mashiva Ruach, there's a Ruach that is beneficial to the rain. And so the Ruach that we're referencing in the wintertime is the Ruach that's connected to the rain and is beneficial to the rain. And that's why we mention Mashiva Ruach in the wintertime, even though we don't mention it in the summertime. Now we have to ask the same thing about Tal. Why do we mention Tal in the summertime and not mention it in the wintertime? So if Tal is there all year round, then we should mention it all year round. And if it's there all year round, then why do we mention it during the summer? Because it's not distinct. So the answer might be that, first of all, in the wintertime, we don't mention Tal because it's in contrast to Geshem. We want to mention Geshem and we don't want to detract from that point. And therefore, we don't mention Tal, even though Tal would be okay to mention during the wintertime, we're just focused on Geshem. So that's why we don't mention Tal. Although in Sheila, we say Vitein Tal u'motor livracha, there we do mention Tal. Even though in the Haskarah we don't mention it, we do mention it in the Sheila. And the reason that we do mention Tal in the summertime is because we want that Tal of bracha. So in the Haskarah we mention only Geshem, because that's obligated. You want to emphasize the Geshem, which is obligated at that time. By the Sheila already, we're asking, there we mentioned both Tal and Geshem, because in the Sheila, we're asking Lebracha. So that's the Tal of Bracha and the Geshem of Bracha. And in the summertime, where we mention Tal in the Azkara, it's because there's no Geshem to contrast it. So over there, we can mention the Tal. And then in Sheila, we don't mention Tal at all because it's hard to distinguish tal shel bracha from tal that's not bracha, as we saw in our Gemara. Although the Svaradim do mention tal in the summertime in Sheila, and it must be that they're asking for the tal of bracha. And why we don't mention avim, the clouds at all, is even though there are clouds that are beneficial when they're associated with the rain, even the clouds that are beneficial with the rain, it's not with all types of rain. It depends on the type of rain. And therefore, since it's not clear or obvious when the clouds are beneficial or not beneficial, we leave out the clouds entirely and we don't mention them not in the summer and not in the winter time. Okay, we're going to stop over here.